let's turn to our vision packs, shall we? Now, if you don't have one of these, now there's one per individual, couple, or family. We don't have enough for everybody, but if you are missing one as a couple or a family, if you want to just raise your hand and the ushers will bring those to you. When I first saw these, I thought this was a hairnet, and I was wondering what I was actually going to do with it, although I do need a moustache net. Although I asked at Frankston campus last weekend who could see my moustache from the platform, and it was like the first three rows, so... just out of interest, who can see it? Oh, look, right at the back. Right, this is getting impressive. So it's only taken almost the entire month. It comes off on Friday. So if you, and I'm so looking forward to getting rid of it. But it's been for a good cause. So we've raised well over $1,000 as a team so far. I've raised about $430, I think it is. So anyway, so if you want to donate, just go onto the Movember website and search for Bayside Church or Rob Buckingham, and you'll be able to donate. These are for fresh produce when you go shopping, okay? So one might not be enough, but this is just to let you know what's available. And these are made out of recycled plastic bottles. So I rather like this idea. So you can buy a whole stack of these fairly cheaply. And so then when you go shopping for your fresh produce, rather than using more plastic bags, you can use these. And this is a way that we can care for God's creation, because we are into that here at Bayside Church. Amen? Wonderful. That's great. So just on that, by the way, if you are interested in caring for creation, we have a Bayside Creation Care Facebook page now. And if you would like to be a part of that, you just have to get in touch with Sandra Cavallo, scavallo@baysidechurch.com.au, and Sandra will add you to that group. So I want you to empty your recycle bag, and on the inside you will find some chocolates, which is very exciting, and a number of leaflets. And I want to just draw your attention to the expression of interest form, because we want everyone to get together. And you'll notice the three words that we've started using tonight: connect, collaborate, and celebrate. So this is a way that we can summarize the vision booklet of the church. If you've never read that, you'll find some copies of that at the iConnect and the info desk. But it's a fairly lengthy document, and so if you read through that, you're not going to be able to remember it all. So we want you to remember those three words, okay? Connect, collaborate, and celebrate. And so we believe in connection with God, connection with one another as a community of believers, and then connection with the broader community, that we collaborate together. And that's what this is about, that we work together collaboratively to make a difference. So working not just within the four walls of the Bayside Centre, but working in our broader community and working in the nations as well, that together, collaboratively, we can do more than we were able to do individually. And then, of course, all work and no play makes us dull, right? So there's time for celebration. And as we connect together, as we collaborate together, we also celebrate what God does in us and through us as a result. So if anyone asks you what the vision of Bayside is, you don't need to give them a long document to read. Church has changed, check it out. We're going to use externally, but within our church community, connect, collaborate, celebrate. Very easy to remember, and it summarizes everything that we are about as a people here at Bayside. So in your expression of interest form, you can spend some time. If you want to fill this out tonight and hand it in at iConnect, you can do so. If you want to take it home and think about it, pray into it, and then fill it out, you can bring it back any weekend, hand it in at iConnect, or just fold it and pop it into the offering bucket. You fill out your name, phone number, and email, and you can tick as many of these boxes as you would like to. The first initiative, you've already seen these on the screen, but the first initiative is our bodybuilders workshops. We will resource and empower Baysiders to work together by improving interpersonal skills and relationships within groups, families, and the broader community. This will be done in workshops. Our first one is on the 16th of Feb, and then throughout the year. This is in place of our leadership training, but we're opening it up to the entire church body. And this is going to be a wonderful way of equipping you, not just for church ministry, but broader marketplace ministry as well, into personal skills and so much more. Sleep at the G, you've already seen. If you want to be involved in that in some way, you can tick that box. Same with sleep at the B. Community hub prayer team. Now, the vision to see Bayside Church as a community hub where people can meet, eat, and share life together. We'll be aiming to work on improving the facilities at both of our campuses. We want to do the external part of the building in 2019, and then we want to start work on the internal. And there are some plans on the back wall, if you haven't seen those already. There's going to be many more community spaces within this building as well. And we want to make this building even more functional than it already is. So if you'd like to be a part of prayer teams that are praying into that, you can tick that box. And if you want to be part of a provision team that gets together and brainstorms ways to fundraise, then you can tick that box. Camp 2020, we're looking for a fundraising team for that. We'll encourage as many of our church family to be together at our 2020 Bayside Church Camp on the 7th to 9th of March the year after next. We'll be working collectively to creatively fundraise so that we can include those who are restricted to being there because of their financial situation. And then the final one is the basketball team. If you want to get together have an opportunity to minister with Prison Fellowship, SLAM Outreach, and also local emergency services, then you can tick that box. So tick as many of those as you would like to. If you have any questions, have a chat with myself or Sandra or any one of the pastors or leaders after the gathering tonight. And then there's a few other pieces of information in there. There's a latest news letter from Melbourne City Mission. So sleep at the G. There's the 2020 camp flyer, Seeing is Believing, with all the details on there. Get that into your diary now and start saving toward it. Men, we've got a retreat coming up next year. And so that's going to be a lot of fun too. So the Bayside Men's Retreat in July next year, all the details are there on that flyer. I've got two of those for some reason. And then you've got your Together 2019 initiatives with a magnet on the back. Pop that on your fridge and lay hands on it and pray into it on a regular basis. So some exciting stuff coming up in the new year. I want to teach into the theme verse for this year for a few minutes tonight. And the key verse is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Our theme, of course, is together. And if you're looking for message notes on this, if you just go online or to the Bayside Church app, click on the media button and then Cheltenham Weekly Notes and you'll find notes for this message. If you're taking your own notes, the title is simply Together, based on Ephesians 4:16. From Him, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's find the context of this, and we're going to read the first 16 verses of Ephesians chapter 4 to understand what the Apostle Paul is really talking about here. And so you can follow it on screen, or you can go to your Bible if you like, Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up from verse 1. And Paul starts by introducing himself as a prisoner for the Lord. He's writing this and Colossians and Philippians from prison. This is the first time Paul was in prison. He was in prison three times in his life, once in Caesarea, which is where he's writing this from, at Herod's palace, and then he was in prison in Rome once and then again under Nero, and then he finally, of course, was executed around 64-65 AD under Nero's rule. So this is his first imprisonment. We're the late 50s AD. He's a prisoner for the Lord. Doesn't give any glory to Herod or anybody else. He's a prisoner for Jesus. And as such, he's urging the believers to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I love that statement. The word bearing with there literally means to put up with one another, which is realistic, is it not? I mean, you know, sometimes I'm easy to love and there's other times where you just need to put up with me. Thank you. And it's the same with all of us. And we grow when we put up with one another and as we work through interpersonal conflict, rather than running from it, rather than going to another church or leaving church altogether, we wise up to realize that a bunch of imperfect people all together in one place will never equal perfection this side of eternity. And so there are times where we simply put up with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, talking about the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We are immersed in His body, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And over the next few verses, it talks about the death of Jesus, the way He descended into the lower realms, as the Apostles' Creed talks about. And then He rose again. And when He rose again, the Bible says He gave gifts to people. It's like fireworks. When you see a firework go up, it explodes, and you see all of these sparks of light coming down in all different directions. And that's a little bit like the resurrection. When Jesus went up, He didn't explode like a firework, but His grace was distributed to His people, to His followers. And so every single one of us have grace. Now, grace in this context is not talking about saving grace. So when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you decided to become a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ, He gave you grace to be saved. But there's lots of different types of grace. Sometimes we need the grace that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12, when he prayed three times that God would take away this thorn in the flesh, probably the persecutions that he was facing. And he was feeling weak and worn out, and he prayed three times, God, take this away from me. And God said, no, but I will give you my grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so that grace was sustaining then. There are times we need that kind of grace. But Paul is here talking about serving grace. When you decide to be a follower of Jesus, He places His grace in your life on top of your gifts and your abilities, including your personality, your character, and everything. And then the Holy Spirit works through you as you serve God and as you serve one another and the broader community with the grace that He gives. And every single one of us carry that type of serving grace. And so then he goes on in Ephesians 4:11, and he talks about some examples of people who are graced specifically. Now, this is not a complete list of the gifts of God. This is just a smattering of examples. He talks about Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And just a little side note here, the word the definite article there, is the Greek word dei, D-E-H, which means on top of this. And so Christ has given on apostles to the church. On top of this, He's given prophets. On top of this, He's given evangelists. And on top of this, He's given pastors and teachers. This is not a hierarchy here. This is a demonstration of the abundant grace of God for His church. I'm so gracious toward you, the Lord is saying, that I have given you gift on top of gift in the body. And as you work together, you are a blessing to one another and to the Lord and to those who don't know Jesus yet. And He's given gifts to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, bodybuilders, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, from Jesus, and here's our key verse, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so I want to spend the next 15 minutes or so teaching on four main statements here that are really important for us as a mature group of believers to get a hold of and make sure that we put these into practice in our lives. The first statement in these scriptures is to equip his people for works of service. Too often, and I think this is still in the church, a lot of Christians look to gifted people as the ministers. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't honor the gifts that God places in his church. I think we should. But we got to be careful that that doesn't slip into some sort of weird kind of hero worship where we're following an individual in an unhealthy sort of way. You know what I'm saying? And we got to understand that every single person at Bayside Church is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard me say, if you've been at Bayside any length of time, you've heard me say this before. If you've been at Bayside for since 1992, you will remember this on day one. And in fact, in our newsletter, and this is last millennium, so we used to photocopy our newsletter every week and hand it out. We also did really good cassette tapes back in those days. Some of you may never have heard of those things, but anyway. And on our newsletter in 1992 and every week there following, we had ministers, all the people at Bayside Church. And so I've been teaching into this for 26 and a half years now about every single one of you being a minister. When people ask you, how many ministers do you say had you have at Bayside, tell them hundreds. And they're going, my goodness, how many people do you have in that church? Hundreds. Because everyone that's actively involved at Bayside is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have gifts and abilities from him and you have serving grace. And these gifts that we talk about, particularly in Ephesians 4, are to equip God's people for the works of ministry. That word equip is fascinating. It's the same Greek word as used in the Gospels when we see the disciples who were fishermen mending their nets on the beach. And so the fishermen back in those days, they would have nets, they would go out on their boats, they would drag the nets behind the boats, they would catch fish, they would drag the net back to the shore, they would open it up and sit around and they would sort out all the fish and take those off to market and sell them. And then they'd have to sit around on the beach for a while and sort the nets out because the nets got tangled. There was seaweed and rocks and all sorts of stuff in the nets. They had to get them out. They had to clean the nets. And then any place where the nets got torn, they'd have to repair the nets. Same word, katatzismos. They would have to equip the nets so that the nets were useful again. And then once they were all ready, they'd go back out and do another fishing expedition and then repeat the process. And so we need that in our lives as well, because through life and conflict and all the stuff that goes on in life, sometimes we get a little torn. Sometimes we pick up a bit of muck. Sometimes we're carrying stuff that we're not meant to carry. And so we need in our church community opportunities like tonight and all of the other ministries that exist here that equip you, that restore you, that clean you up, that get you ready for the master's use yet again so that you can serve him unhindered, to equip the people for works of service, restored and serving together. Number two, so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's why we're doing bodybuilding workshops next year, to build up the body of Christ. That's an increase in spirituality and an increase in numbers, both not either or. So as a church, we're not just interested in numerical growth for the sake of numerical growth. I'm actually more interested in church health than I am in church growth, knowing that you can get growth that is incredibly unhealthy, like cancer, for example. It's a growth, but it's not the growth that you want. And so we want healthy growth here at Bayside, knowing that a healthy body will also grow. Number three, until we all reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I just want to spend a few minutes on this. This is so very important. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, we could put it this way, until we all hold the same truths concerning the Son of God. And this is where Christian unity comes into play, because we need to say the same things when it comes to the truths concerning Jesus. That is, the truths concerning salvation, but on things that don't concern Jesus as much or don't affect our salvation, we can hold different viewpoints on. This is so important. There's power in the song that we sang tonight based on the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father. I love singing that. For me, it's just this declaration. This is what I believe. And I can sense, you know, in the congregation, I can hear your voices as we sing that together. It's a wonderful affirmation of the things that are really, really important. The Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creation of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That resonates with us because they're the important truths that we hold to. And if you were to ask anyone in the church congregation, if they've been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, we're kind of settled on those things. We know that we know that we know. Back in the olden days, not only did we have photocopy newsletters and cassettes, but we also had checks. Remember checkbooks? Does anyone still use a checkbook, just out of interest? Okay, so there's a few. So on your checks, right, for those of you who've never used a checkbook, let me just tell you what we used to do to checks. You'd write out a check, and then you would make it payable to somebody, and then you would cross the check, right? And so when you crossed it, and then you would write the words, not negotiable, across it. And if you didn't cross it, it meant it could be cashed by anybody. But if you wrote not negotiable, then you took it to the bank, and if you were not the person that the check was written to, the bank would not enter into negotiation with you on that check. It was not negotiable. It's we're not up to talking about this because you are not that person. The check is made payable to Rob Buckingham, and you are not Rob Buckingham, so you cannot cash this check, and I'm not going to talk to you about it, right? So there's truth in the Bible that's not negotiable. And that's the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus, God in human form, 100% God and 100% human, that He lived amongst people, demonstrating the nature and the love of God, that He died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, that 3 days later He rose from the dead, conquering sin, conquering death. He ascended into heaven where He is ever living to intercede for us. And one day He will return from there to establish His kingdom forever. They're the non-negotiables. I believe in those things 100%. So we don't enter into negotiation on those things because if you don't believe those things, then you need to become a follower of Jesus. But there's a lot of other stuff we can hold different opinions on. Today we've had a state election, and I hope that you've all voted today. But I'm not going to ask you what you voted for because Bayside Church is not a political organization. I've never told anyone at Bayside who or what they should vote for, and I never will. And I've had a lot of pressure over the years on different issues, particularly last year with the postal survey on the same-sex marriage. And I had so many people say, you know, you need to tell your whole church to vote no. And I said, no. Because I've never told our people what to vote on anything. I will give advice and guidance, but ultimately you are mature men and women, and it's a secret ballot, and you have to vote according to your conscience. We did a survey here at Bayside a number of years ago into the political spectrum of our church, and we came out pretty well like the local area, slightly more liberal than ALP, and then Greens and Independents kind of from there, all right, which is sort of like the Bayside area, or at least parts of the Bayside area. And so our unity is not found in our political persuasion. Our unity is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything else is negotiable. So the things that we hold to and the things that Christians have divided over for centuries is tragic, because they are never the things that pertain to salvation. Things like, you know, is baptism by full immersion or sprinkling? Now, I believe full immersion, but some people believe differently. Do you go to hell if you haven't been fully immersed? I don't think so. Was the earth created in 6 literal days? Is hell really eternal torture? Is it all right for divorced people to be remarried? Is it okay for 2 people of the same gender to marry? Does the book of Revelation deal with the past or the future? Which political party should I vote for? What is the correct day to worship on? Should we use grape juice or wine in communion? Should Christians eat deviled eggs? These are the questions of life. I don't think, you know, when we get to heaven, St. Peter, is he going to have a checklist before he lets us in? A bit like the Doberman and the Alsatian and the cat that died and went to heaven, and they're standing before God, and God's quizzing them about the thrones that God has to his right and to his left. And so he says to the Doberman, why should I let you on one of these thrones? And the Doberman says, well, I was a good guard dog and I always served my master well. And so God said, get up on the one on my right. Said to the Alsatian, what have you done? And he said, well, I was a police dog and I caught criminals and I was always faithful to my master. God says, well done, that's wonderful, you can have a chair. And then he looks at the cat and he says, tell me about you. And the cat just looks at God and says, you're in my seat. Which is so like a cat, isn't it? Dogs have owners, but cats have staff. But will St. Peter be standing there at the pearly gates with a checklist? You know, Fred dies and he's standing there and so St. Peter is quizzing him. So Fred, baptized by sprinkling or full immersion? Oh, full immersion. Good. Believe the earth was created 6,000 years ago in 6 literal days? Oh, of course. Good. Voted no in the postal survey on marriage? Yes, of course I voted no. Good. Use grape juice, not wine, for communion? Oh, I've always used grape juice. Good. None of the devil's brew for you, right? Now, I look here and not so good at feeding the hungry or showing hospitality to the stranger or visiting those who were sick or in prison, but, oh, well, at least you got the main things right. So come into heaven. That's not going to happen, is it? Now, I don't believe that salvation is by works. I believe it is purely by faith in Jesus, as the Apostle Paul said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But there appear to be certain things that deeply touch the heart of God, and they are the things that we should keep front and center and be careful not to divide on things that are not as important. Christian unity is achieved when we all hold the same truths concerning the Son of God, the truths essential to salvation, and give each other a lot of grace to hold views on other things that differ from our own. And this is a point that is so important for us as a church, as we grow in health and in maturity. Are you in a place personally where you can believe one thing very, very strongly, but you also give people grace to believe differently to you on those things without breaking fellowship with them? Can you have a good conversation with someone, ask them why they believe what they believe, and you do the same, but you're not trying to convert the other person to believe like you, and they're not a worse Christian than you if they believe differently to you on those things. Because that's where Christian maturity comes in. And I trust that we are growing in those areas as a church, because that is so important as we move forward. Unity equals harmony plus diversity. And then number four, until we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is, we are to continue to grow in our Christian faith until we become like Jesus, because that's the goal. He gives here three qualities of mature Christians. Number one, mature Christians are not affected by fads. Ephesians 4:14, then we will be no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Mature Christians are not affected by fads. Over my years as a Christian, I have just seen the church preoccupied with one fad after another. I came to the Lord in a time in the late 70s and early 80s. It was kind of the post-hippie era, and it was the Jesus people movement. And I'm very grateful for that because a lot of young people were coming to Jesus during that time. And there's nothing wrong with any of these. The problem is when we want to build a tent and park there. It's a bit like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know. It's like they're having visitations from Moses and Elijah and all this kind of stuff's going on. And Peter's like, ooh, would you like me to build some tents? Let's stay here. This is nice. And we got to be careful, you know, because God's moving on. And we don't want to stay parked in the place and only to find out that God's here now. And so, you know, that's what happened in the 70s. In the 80s, everybody was flying to South Korea to Dr. Yonggi Cho's church to find out what was happening over there with home groups and all of that kind of stuff. And then in the 90s, people weren't going to Korea anymore. They're all going over to Toronto for the Toronto Blessing, and everyone was flying over there to the Airport Vineyard. And then it started in Pensacola, I think it was Florida, northern Florida, somewhere around the panhandle. And so everyone started flying over there, and they're all going all over the place. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. And yes, God was doing some great things, but it concerned me that there were people just going from one fad to another. And we've got to be careful of that, even in this day and age. Don't follow the fad. God's doing great stuff in different parts of the world, but His plan from the beginning has always been the local church, which is enduring, something that goes on. Events come and go, but God is working powerfully through His local church. He then gives four illustrations of immaturity under this heading of mature Christians are not affected by fads. He talks about immature Christians as being infants. In some ways, Christians are to be like children, meek, gentle, trusting, free from ambition and pride and so on. But children have other qualities that we are not to emulate. Children are changeable, gullible. They have a short attention span. I said they have a short attention span. They're easily influenced by others and led astray. In these respects, we are to be no longer infants, but are to put on the qualities of adulthood and not to be affected by fads and new teachings. Immature Christians are like the waves. They're tossed by waves. They're instable in their thoughts and their character. They're like the dice. Paul says here, he uses an expression, cunning and craftiness, which literally means to throw the dice. That is, immature Christians are ones who form their opinion by mere chance, like throwing a dice. They're the sort of people, they get their Bible in the morning and they're just like, God, talk to me. I'm going to open it up and I'm going to see what God has to say to me today. Oh, I don't like that one very much. Let's try this again. Don't be that sort of person, the throwing of the dice. And then they're like ships, a ship adrift on a restless ocean. They have no fixed views or principles. Immature people yield to every new opinion, teacher, and fad. Mature Christians are not affected by fads. Second thing about mature Christians speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. The truth should always be spoken, but the truth must be spoken in love. And don't be one of those people who have to tell another person that I'm speaking the truth in love. Let them be the judge of that. I've had people say, I'm just talking the truth in love. And I feel like saying, well, I'm not feeling loved. So let them be the judge of that. Speaking the truth in love, because there are other ways of speaking truth. And you might have heard people speak truth harshly or unwisely, which only offends and wounds. There are blogs written by so-called Christians. But when you read it, you feel devastated afterwards because there's truth, but it's harsh and abrasive. I was part of a church like that for 8 years over in Western Australia, the first 8 years of my Christian life. From there, I went to Bible college and unlearned a lot of the stuff that I got taught. And, you know, every day I'd read my Bible and pray and build myself up, and I'd get there on Sunday morning, and then we'd have so-called prophetic messages and then a sermon from our pastor who needed a calendar rather than a watch because his sermons were so long. And they were like, you know, he used the sword of the Spirit to damage people. And he'd cut and thrust for about an hour, hour and a half every Sunday. And, you know, I'd felt great before church, and now I was like this. I'll go home. And just to make sure that I was completely discouraged, I would go back for the Sunday evening service. Why did I do this for 8 years, this kind of weird faithfulness that was misplaced? Should have got out of there quick, smart. But anyway, and so it was harsh. And then I spent the rest of the week building myself up again, only to go and get knocked down. I think there's a song about that, isn't there? Yeah, get knocked down, but I get up again. When we speak the truth to others, it should always be out of love for them, that we have their best interests at heart. And if we really do, they can tell. Number three, and finally, mature Christians pull their weight. And that's our key verse for 2019, Ephesians 4:16. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In other words, the church is to work together in unity by each person using their gifts to serve God and to serve others. Each part does its work. In Greek, is actually a musical term that's applied to musicians who produce harmony by playing different parts of music together. We were blessed tonight by our worship team here, by the musicians and by the singers. They weren't all playing the same thing. They were playing different notes, and the singers were singing different parts in harmony. But when it was all together, it sounded great. And it made it easy for us to worship the Lord because they made it easy, not by all playing the same note. Can you imagine how boring that would be if we were to sing a song like that? That would be really, oh, really? Can we stop this now? But they were playing different notes. And when they all were all playing together, they all sounded nice. And that's what we are like when we're all playing our part, when we're not trying to be someone else or something else, when we're sticking true to the grace of God in our own lives, and when we're participating, when we're collaborating and connecting, there's something to celebrate that comes out of that. No place for a soloist, but all the musicians playing together. During a rehearsal at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City, the renowned conductor Arturo Toscanini offered some constructive criticism to the featured soloist. She was too proud to accept his help, however, and expressed her resentment by exclaiming in anger, "I am the star of this performance." Toscanini responded wisely and firmly, "Madam, in this performance, there are no stars." And I would say the same about Bayside Church. Ladies and gentlemen, in this church, there are no stars. We are an orchestra playing together, and together we sound nice. The maestro had made a strong point. The soloists, the members of the chorus, the orchestra all had to work together in harmony or there could be no beautiful music. The Lord isn't looking for soloists who want to be stars. He's looking for workers who are willing to be servants. God's work takes teamwork together. And so let me read some affirmations over you and some wonderful truths over you that really show us how good it is to work together. Working together means no one gets exhausted. Working together means we can support one another. Working together is more fun. Working together helps us get to know others and to grow closer to them. Working together helps you accomplish more for the glory of God. And so as a church, let's connect, collaborate, and celebrate together in 2019. Amen. Yeah. Awesome.